is, I consider it something that's on my heart. I did not plan when I came to preach. In fact, I was thinking that when I came this time that I would not have to preach. But Pastor Sam, when I got him on the phone, we didn't get very far in the conversation. And before he says, well, I want you to preach. And I said, well, I don't want to take you from your assignment. And he insisted. And I do bring sermons with me. I have, even though I've been gone 6 years as I've preached in Texas, I've not gone into the file and took a lot of the Fallbrook sermons. I've still challenged myself and try and bring something new. But today I'm going to talk about the Sabbath, and it just happens to be that that's what the Lord had me bring. And so I'm going to preach it because the Lord gave it to me to preach. Amen? Amen. I'm very sensitive about that, especially for our guests and people who may not know the church as well. For you to arrive at church on Sabbath and then hear somebody preach about the Sabbath, you'd think we do that every week. That's really not what we do. But I never hesitate to do what the Lord has asked me to do. Amen? So he's asked me to say this, and I'm going to say it with God's grace. And so I've entitled the message, The Sabbath, Taste It Again for the First Time. And I could not have preached this sermon 35 or 40 years ago. It had to be now. And why it had to be now, because I'm old enough and I've been around long enough to see how good God has been to me. And I've linked it with the Sabbath. Now, I've done that. You know, we break all the rules as Seventh-day Adventists. We go tell our boss we're not going to work from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. We're going to honor the Lord's request. And we're not supposed to be making it. We're not supposed to have jobs. Things are supposed to not go well. But I'm telling you, after so many years, that God is good. I mean that. We as a church, we have discovered through God a blessing plan like none other. Like none other. Now this year, and I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. This year we had two major religious events. One was the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists that met in San Antonio, Texas. And I'm not sure what the count was, but there must have been 100,000 people or more. I understand that it was one of the biggest conventions in the history of San Antonio. Some great work was done by medical teams that got together and helped the community free of charge. Doctors and nurses and technicians and dentists. And my understanding, it was a big success. The San Antonio community really appreciated the work that Seventh-day Adventists did for their community. I was really proud of what I heard came out of that. So I just wanted to let you know that was one of the things that happened this year. And of course, they reelected President Ted Wilson. He gave us the marching orders, and the church moved on, and I'm not sure how many delegates were there, but it seemed like there were people from all over the world at that convention. And that was a major religious event. But the one that really has struck me lately is about a month ago, Pope Francis came to the United States. Was any of you following that? You should have been. That was a major event. And he had come from Cuba speaking to the Cuban people, and then the United States hosted him in Washington, D.C., New York, and then where I'm from, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Pope Francis's visit was unprecedented. There's some things happened there that, I thought I'd never see. He actually spoke to a joint session of Congress. That's never been done. Spoke to 170 UN delegates. The United States assembled the largest security force ever for his visit. Pope Francis met with President Obama, met with Speaker John Boehner, and met with Congressional Leader Nancy Pelosi. And so much so, in one visit, and this really struck me, this is when I know this was powerful, that Speaker John Boehner, after meeting with the Pope, made a decision that he would resign. And here I thought about that. Because, you know why? Because it was a bucket list. He had been trying to get this to happen for 20 years. And it happened. One of the most powerful men in our country was so moved by that visit that he resigned, I imagine, to do other things, but certainly to maybe do some other things that maybe would spark his religious life. I'm not sure, but that was major. And in Philadelphia, where I'm from, the Pope on the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum. Now, this is big for me. Made famous by the Rocky films, the city played for Pope Francis the Rocky theme. Da 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 da. You could just see hands raised. I mean, folk, that's big. And then he had a mass for 1 million people. I hope you didn't miss that. I hope you didn't go to sleep on that. That was what big religious events. And so the largest Sabbath-keeping church, Seventh-day Adventist, met in San Antonio, and the largest Sunday-keeping church Pope Francis represented, met in Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. I mean, that's historic. I'm that kind of guy, when I see stuff like that, my antennas go up. So I thought, with that in mind, and the fact that Dr. Ben Carson, I'm intrigued by this. I hope you're getting this. Dr. Ben Carson, and Lorraine, you let Michael Kelly know that I'm saying it publicly. Michael Kelly and I, you know Michael Kelly. Most of you know Michael Kelly. We met last year and had lunch together, and we were discussing politics. And he was telling me, you know, how his feelings about Dr. Carson. And I said, Dr. Carson won't last 1 week. Boy, did I get that wrong. So you let Michael Kelly know that I said publicly I was wrong. I mean, I was real wrong. Aren't you intrigued by this? Dr. Ben Carson, a Seventh-day Adventist, is running for president. And folk, I didn't think he even had a ghost of a chance. He's leading in the polls in Iowa. Now, I don't know about you, something's going on. Now, I'm not talking about whether you're for him or not, but I'm saying God has something in mind. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure what he's trying to bring to the forefront, but I'm looking. Amen? So with that in mind, I thought I would talk about what I know about. Sometimes I think we spend too much time refuting Sunday. Rather than telling people about what we know about, and that's the Sabbath. What blessings we get by being Sabbath keepers. There's a text that you're familiar with. It's 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. I believe that text. I believe it with all my being. And I believe that we have discovered the greatest blessing. I'll use tool. I don't have a better word, or blessing tool or blessing maker that the world has ever seen. It resides in obeying God. And let me say something to you, because I'll be accused of being a legalist when you talk about the Sabbath. But I want you to say this with me. We are not legalists, we are loyalists. Say that with me. We are not legalists, we are loyalists. You know, I love my wife. I've been married to my wife 45 years. I love her, and I'm loyal to her. Amen? Amen. We are loyalists, not legalists. We do it because we love God, and we want to be loyal to Him. Amen? Again, that's why I say I couldn't have preached this 35 years ago, because I had not yet received all of God's blessings. But over the years, you just see God. See, if you're a young person, you may not get this. They may drag you to church, but you don't quite get it. But if you've been around, I can now start saying I've been around long enough. All right. Interesting, when you get to that point, you start saying things like, I've been around long enough. Well, I can tell you that God is not only good, He's very good to His people. And I believe that the Sabbath has a lot to do with it. Let me share with you just a few texts that I think will highlight what God wants us to do. First of all, He wants us to remember Him. He wants us to remember Him. He's our Creator. He wants us to remember Him. And interesting that God would choose something like the Sabbath that's couched in time, not space. I mean, that's the wisdom of God. You see, you can't destroy time. Now, the devil will think to change times, but he really can't. You can't destroy. God, in His wisdom, put the Sabbath in time. Not in space, because if it was in space, then you know what would happen? We would pick a building, and we would honor that building more than God. We would pick a thing and honor it more than God. But in putting it in time, the devil can't destroy the Sabbath. Amen? Now, he may try and counterfeit it, but he cannot destroy it. And so God wanted us to remember. So what God did was set up what I call divine checkpoints. Now, you may have even heard me use this term. I just want to give these texts to you, just a few texts. It's a good way to do a Bible study sometimes, because what you have to do now is convince people that what has happened to you is a result of God's goodness and blessings. Now, in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, a very familiar text to you. Anyone have that text? Would you stand up and read that for me? Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. Just want you to read that one. This is the first divine checkpoint. God wants us to remember Him. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. Anyone else? Anyone read that? Stand up. I'm going to call on you if you don't hurry up. Thanks, Dan. All right.
Because in it, He rested from all His work which God had created and made.
Amen. That's the first divine checkpoint, so that we could remember God, our Creator. Amen. Now, it's important that we realize that God wants us to, and you'll note that after this, I'm not going to say forget again. God wants us to remember Him. Amen? He wants us to remember the Sabbath. And in that text is the word blessed. Now, how we use the word blessed contemporarily is the fact that we say, if you're having a difficulty or problem, you come up to me and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. You know what we're likely to say to you? I'm praying that the Lord would bless you. Isn't that how we use it? So God blessed the day, but God didn't just bless the day. He blessed the people of that day. Amen? So that's the context in which I'm using it. And I want you to be able to share with the world how God has blessed you as you have honored His day. Amen? I want you to be positive about the Sabbath. Amen? Don't spend as much time refuting Sunday. People want to know what's happened to you. What has it done to you? You can't dispute a person's testimony. If you tell the person that the God has been good to you since you've been coming to church every week for 40 years, and how He's blessed you with food and clothing and shelter, you'll remember. Amen? And they'll remember. You put a testimony in their minds. That's the first divine checkpoint. The next one, you're very familiar with, is Exodus chapter 16, Exodus chapter 20. Now, I just want you to turn there. You don't have to, I'm not going to have everybody read it. It's too long. But you know the story. The story of the manna. Remember this? God rained down bread from heaven. All right? They wanted some food. So God rained down bread from heaven. It happened, what He did was on, He rained bread down every day. And then on the sixth day, which was Friday, the preparation day, He rained down twice as much. So they would not have to go out on the field on Sabbath to pick bread up, because it was the Sabbath. All right, and you can read Exodus 16, and start it around verse 16. You'll find some very interesting things, okay? So all you had to do is go stand out in the field on Sabbath and nothing fell, you knew it was the Sabbath. That happened for 40 years. 40 years of eating. Providing. God was providing every single week. Isn't that what He's done for you over the years? I mean, long term, as you know what I'm talking about, every single week. I mean, I don't care how much problems you have during the week, God will roll around on that Sabbath and you'll be blessed. Amen? It just happens. How many in here have been blessed to have the Sabbath in your life for 40 years? You see all these hands? I can assure you, if you go around and ask those people who raised their hands, you'll have to stop them from talking if you ask them about the blessings. I'm serious. We found something here. So, that's the second divine checkpoint. The first one was what, everybody? Genesis 2, 1 through 3. This one is Exodus 16 and then Exodus 20. Most of us know that, the Ten Commandments. And in the heart of the Ten Commandments, the very bosom of the Ten Commandments, God says, remember. Isn't that what God says? We tend to use the word forget. That's not what God says. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And when you go back to Exodus 16, Exodus 20, the interesting words that are connected there, eat and food and wafers like honey. Sounds like blessings to me. Amen? That's the next divine checkpoint. One was in Genesis. The next one is Exodus 16 and Exodus 20. And this next one, We all know it. Mark chapter 15 and verse 42, and you can go on to, up to chapter 16. This is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You can't miss this one because it's salvation. Mark 15, verse 42, talks about the preparation day. We know that's Friday. The next day, it says the day before the Sabbath. Are you with me? So we know what Sabbath was. And then on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. The tomb was empty. Are you with me? Everybody, every Christian knows Good Friday. The next day is the Sabbath, and after that is the first day of the week. I've said it's like a sandwich. You don't want a sandwich with nothing inside of the bread. Now, when I was growing up, I was so poor, I had a sandwich with sugar in the side of it. Now, listen to this. White Wonder Bread with white sugar in it. It's a miracle I can walk. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. That's how poor I was. I mean, Wonder Bread, you have to squeeze it. You know, you reach to squeeze it, go in the store and squeeze it. I ate Wonder Bread. I didn't know about wheat bread until I joined the military. It's true. Lord, it's a miracle I'm standing. But the goal is to, now you should get a slice of whole wheat and a slice of whole wheat with a griller in the center, all right? And when you take a bite of it, you can't miss that griller. Are you with me? It's the Sabbath. So you'll remember. When you look at that, you can't forget. You can only remember. You can remember. That's the next divine checkpoint. The next one is, so we did Genesis, we did Exodus 16 and Exodus 20, and Mark 15 and verse 42, and you can find it in Luke 23. The next one is not a Bible text, because I get questioned all the time, and I think it's when people ask you that, it's very legitimate. They will ask you, hasn't the calendar been changed? And that's a legitimate. Do not put people down when they ask you that. That's very legitimate. Because you would think over the years it has been. And you can go to Wikipedia. I know a lot of people would like to go to Wikipedia. Wikipedia has a good explanation for it all. But in 1582, to be more specific, October the 4th, 1582, you see, before there was the Gregorian calendar, there was the Julian calendar. Instituted by Julius Caesar in 46 B.C. He calculated the year as 365 days and a quarter. He was off, most books will say 11 minutes, but he was off by 10 minutes and 49 seconds. So over the long period of time, we had to make that time up some kind of way. So Pope Gregory the 13th, who was an independent-minded Pope. I don't know if he was that well-liked and well-received, but he had a mind of his own. I'll show you how God used him. And there was a lot of opposition about fixing that calendar because people thought they were going to lose 10 days of work. So, I mean, there was nobody on his side. But somehow, miraculously, he got them to check. It was Thursday, October the 4th, 1582, and he changed the next day, which was Friday, to October the 15th, 1582. And he got him to do it. You know that's a miracle. You know God had to be in that. And I was reading that we are just finished. Not every country went along with that. We have just recently gotten the last few bastion of countries to go along with the Gregorian calendar. You know God had to be in that. For me, that's a divine checkpoint. Now, you can pick your own. I just happen to think that that was a major thing that happened. God was in that. Why? So that we could remember God. God is our creator. We love him. We are not legalists. We are not legalists. We are We are loyal to God. We love him. Amen. We want to do for him. That's why we get up on Sabbath and come here no matter how tired we are, how sick we are. We get up here and struggle out. And our folk, our family who are not the same as us, they look at us and like we lost our minds. But we're being loyal to the God we love. Amen? The next divine checkpoint is the last one that I'll have. Is Revelation 14 and verse 12. And I need someone to read that for me. Revelation 14 and verse 12. And you could probably have more divine checkpoints, but I'm just giving you these. I think they're important. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Someone read that for me. All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and obey
them. Amen. This next divine checkpoint is us. God wants us to tell someone else what we've experienced. So he chose us as a people to tell the world how good God is. Amen? Amen? And that's miraculous in itself. A Seventh-day Baptist by the name of Rachel Oates Preston told a minister by the name of, let me go back to my notes, Frederick Wheeler, a Methodist minister, about the Sabbath, who shared it to a Free Will Baptist minister by the name of Thomas Preble, who shared it with Millerite Joseph Bates, who shared it with James and Ellen White, and I learned it from a staff sergeant while I was in the Air Force, enlisted in the Air Force, and the rest is history. Isn't God, you know that's miraculous. Only God could do that. And I remember when that staff sergeant told me that, I was blown away. That's why I have the title, The Sabbath, Tasted Again for the First Time. When I heard that fact, I was absolutely blown away. I said, you made this up. This now can't be. I'm serious. So I went and spent time just trying to, you know, analyze this thing and make sure that I wasn't wrong. And found out it to be true. You know, if we don't keep telling people about the Sabbath, the devil will think to change times and laws. You know the two institutions that came out of the garden? Marriage and the Sabbath. And he's worn out marriage. Don't you think Sabbath is close behind? You can be sure. What I found out about loyalty, you know, I went to the store recently while I was here to purchase something, and the lady gave me my change. And along with the change, she gave me some stamps. Now, when I was growing up as a little boy in the 50s, my mother used to go to the Acme grocery store, pulling her little cart, and she would buy her few little groceries, and then they would give her H&S green stamps. And she had books, and my mother was religious. She was loyal, okay? She's going to go to Acme so she could get some stamps, all right? She'd put it in that little book and get all them books together and get a little appliance. All right? And I remember that as a boy. And so I started looking. Now, they're giving stamps in 2015. So I said, I'm going to look into this. What's going on here? And I discovered that we're into loyalty. And that in 2015, now, you're going to think, I really looked this. I looked it up several times to make sure that I was being accurate to you. Do you know that there are 3 billion loyalty memberships in the U.S. You think I'm making that up. The average family has 29 membership, loyalty membership, or rewards kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about. I have one with one of these stores, and it's interesting what they do. I go in with the intent to spend $50. You know, and they got these big old carts. They look, you know, you can wheel people in them. They're so big. I intend to spend $50, and one of them, they sell the patties, you know, the Morningstar patties, and my wife uses that to make tacos and stuff. And so we go in there, and we buy five or six of them at a time. But I intended to spend $50. We leave out there, and our bill is $200. Come on, y'all had, you've done it too. Don't act like you haven't done it. Loyalty. Loyalty. The world's into loyalty. But you know, they did a study at Northwestern University and found out that for some, it's 50 to 70% of their business is repeat loyalty couples. Some, it's almost 95%. We go back to the same place again. But what they discovered when they did research on this with the loyalty, what they really want is the data on your behavior. That's more valuable than the actual buying of the product. They want to check your behavior. Because when they check your behavior, then they know, if they watch when I come in there, they know that I like the Morningstar Farm stuff. So they're gonna make sure that Morningstar Farm is in that store, not in all the other stores, but the boxes that they sell are in that store, so I can go back. And I keep going back and back. Am I right? We are into loyalty. So shouldn't we be into loyalty? Based on what God has done for us? Shouldn't we be loyal to our Creator? But there's something about loyalty. I'm getting ready to close. Give me 5 minutes. You know, when I say 5 minutes, I'm probably talking 10. But give me five. I hate when preachers do that because it almost seems like we're lying in the pulpit. I know. I've been called on it many times. Okay. Why it's so important for me now that we become loyal to the Sabbath? Because eventually loyalty tests you. Sometimes being loyal is hard. It's not all easy. It's not all fun and games being loyal. And you can be sure that our loyalty will be more than just words. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. I want to read something to you as I close from the Great Controversy. The Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty. What is the point of truth, especially controverted? When the final test shall be brought to bear upon men, the line of distinction will be drawn between those who serve God and those who serve Him not. And while the observance of the false Sabbath in compliance with the law of the state, contrary to the fourth commandment, will be a vow of allegiance to a power that is in opposition to God, the keeping of the true Sabbath in obedience to God's law is evidence of loyalty to the Creator. While one class, by accepting the sign of submission to earthly powers, received the mark of the beast, the other, choosing the token of allegiance to divine authority, received the seal of God. And when our nation in its legislative council shall enact laws to bind the consciences of men in regard to their religious privileges, enforcing Sunday observance and bringing oppressive power to bear against those who keep the seventh-day Sabbath, the law of God will, to all intent and purposes, be made void in our land, and national apostasy will be followed by national ruin. Those are two very difficult statements. I'm pressing that we would be loyalists, not legalists, loyalists. We do what we do because God is our creator. He has saved us. He is great to us. And we don't do it to get benefits all the time because, like I said, being loyal means a payback, okay? There's coming a time when we'll have to stand up for what is right and obey God. Do you believe that time is coming? Will you be ready when that happens? Will you be really ready to stand up for what God asks us to do? When I think about the goodness of God, I think about the blessings of God and how good he's been to us and to our church. I want to be able to stand. Amen? Amen. Do you want to be able to stand? Amen. I want to be able to stand with him. I don't want to spend my whole life, I raised my hand to 40 years. I don't want to have to spend 40 years of coming to church every Saturday and then chump out at the last minute, as soon as it gets tough. I mean, I don't want to be that. Now, I'm not sure. I'm asking for God to help me. Amen? But I personally don't want to be that. I want to stick with God. Amen? I want to stick with God. One of the things that I was absolutely blown away by in a positive way, there was a family of six who traveled from Argentina in a Volkswagen bus. 13,000 miles. Took them 194 days and they passed through 13 countries to see Pope Francis. I mean, come on, did you hear that? I mean, you have to admire the loyalty of that family. I'm not talking about theology. I'm just talking about just plain, straight-out loyalty. Somebody's made some kind of impression upon somebody. Well, God has made that kind of impression on me. Amen. I want to read one quote, and I've gone to 10 minutes, and I've blown it, but I need to read it because I think this is important. This came from our prophet, and I believe that she was wise when she wrote this. She says, and this was in Review and Herald, January 5th, 1886. As a person becomes convinced of the scriptures that the claims of the fourth commandment are still binding, the question is often raised. And it's raised to her, is it necessary in order to secure salvation that we keep the Sabbath? I think that's a good question. And this is the way Ellen White answers it. She said, this is a question of grave importance. If the light has shone from the Word of God, if the message has been presented to men as it was to Pharaoh, and they refuse to heed that message, if they reject the light, they refuse to obey God and cannot be saved in their disobedience. Now, if I stopped there, that'd be something. But I want to read what else she said. She says, on the other hand, many have died conscientiously, observing the first day of the week as the Sabbath of the fourth commandments. These will not be condemned because they followed the best light they had. They will not be held responsible for the light which they never received. What a balanced approach. Amen? That's the good God that we serve. Amen? I want to stand up for him. If you want to stand for him by faith, would you stand with me as we conclude our service? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the Sabbath. It has been a blessing to our church. It has been a blessing to families. And then, Lord, a lot of the things that we see today would not have been if we would have remembered you as our creator. The way we treat one another, the kind of crimes we see. There'd be no atheists. There'd be no idolaters. there would be people who would remember that you are our Creator. So, Lord, we thank you for the Sabbath. We thank you for what it means to us. And then, Lord, we ask in a very special way. Time is running out. The goodness and the blessings that we receive on the Sabbath is slowly going to go away. We're going to be challenged. And then, Lord, when that happens, through the Holy Spirit, would you keep us upright? Would you keep us strong? Would you keep us loyal? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.